Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right. We have some breaking news because we have our football fest at the Hard Rock Casino. It's August 20th. Guess who's going to be there and speak to the group? That would be the man on the phone right now.
Who is it?
The amazingly talented Adam Schefter.
Ooh,
Schefter!
Cap, what's going on, guys? This just in, yes, I will be appearing at the ESPN Chicago Football Fest at the Hard Rock Casino. That Saturday, fired up for it. Going to bring my family to Chicago. Personally, I'm fired up about that because my wife, my son, my daughter, they've never been to or visited Chicago, a city that I've spent a lot of time in, having gone to graduate school there. And so they get to experience Chicago. I get to experience the ESPN Chicago Football Fest. We're going to have a great Saturday there that day. My family's going to have a great weekend in Chicago. So it's a win all across the board.
This is the biggest breaking news you've had all summer long, appearing at the fest.
I think so, yeah. I think it qualifies as something that's more significant than Russell Wilson being traded to Denver or Khalil Mack being traded to Los Angeles. But this might be bigger than all of those off-season developments. The fact that the Schefters are coming in mass to Chicago, and I will be attending the ESPN Chicago Football Fest, which we've talked about doing for a lot of time, a long period of time, but it's always so hard for me to leave my family with all the time that I'm gone. And then there was the pandemic, and this was just the right time. It just seemed to work out. And so I'm fired up to be there. It's going to be a great weekend. I know you guys do a great job with it, and I'm excited to be a small part of it that weekend.
So you will be more involved in football on August 20th than Roquan Smith may be by that date, right?
It's very possible, yes. Me and Good Karma Brand, ESPN, we have an agreement, unlike the Bears and Roquan Smith that day, yes.
What do you make of that? What are you calling it, Cap? What's it called again?
A hold-in.
Chef, I've been around a while. Hold-in, that's a new one for me. I know it's happened a few times, but what do you make of that one?
Well, it's what players have to do these days because the rules in the new collective bargaining agreement are so punitive against a player who doesn't show up and holds out the way that other players used to back in the day, that players now are forced to report. And once they do report, then they hold in. And they find a way not, my hamstrings bother me, got a migraine headache, don't feel like I can go out there, my stomach's upset, whatever it is. And they talk to the team and they figure it out, but that's the situation and how it works.
So, Robert Quinn, do you expect Robert Quinn to show up and be all in, ready to lay it on the line like he did last year? Or do you think he either A, won't show, B, he'll hold in, or C, just tell them, I'm not doing anything until you trade me?
You know, I don't know how that one works. I think that's a different situation than Roquan Smith. I guess I got to check on that, but it's a situation where the Bears with Robert Quinn have to figure out what works for them. He has to figure out what works for him. And then the two sides solve that situation. I just think that's a different situation than the Roquan Smith one.
And then you finally see Jaquan Brisker get his deal done. So he'll be the starting safety. He was their second round pick of the Bears. Yeah. Schefty, I just look at the roster and the lack of impactful moves in the offseason, and it tells me they've picked their lane. They got rid of Khalil Mack. They got rid of Allen Robinson. A bunch of other dudes are gone. They're okay with being bad this year because it's part of the plan to rebuild this thing, right?
Well, first of all, they had spent a lot of money.
Yep.
They had spent a lot of draft picks, so they were without financial resources to devote to the cap. They were without picks to build the roster because of the move that they made for Justin Fields. They have a new head coach. They have a new GM. So it's sort of like starting from scratch to a certain degree with some of the pieces that you've inherited that you believe in and want to build around. But yes, it's like, let's go build the house from scratch. We're on a budget. We're going to move into a new home and we're going to start making our way there. And I think that's really been the approach of the team. And they can start over with these new people, and they're hoping that everybody builds this program and organization up together.
Shefty, the Bengals were 4-11-1 in 2020, yeah. You know, just a couple years ago. But we did learn about Joe Burrow during that year. You can learn about a quarterback even on a bad team, can't you? What would kind of be success to you and you think the Bears at the end of this season with Justin Fields, despite most likely a bad record?
I don't know how to define it, yeah. Other than I would say to you that you be able to see it.
Yeah.
Period. Your eyes will know whether he is progressing the way that the Bears want and the way the fans want. And if he's progressing that way, then everybody in Chicago is going to feel good about the team and the direction it's going. If he is struggling and not progressing, you're going to see that too. And it's going to be reflected in the team's performance and the outlook for the future. So, look, it's hardly breaking news to say that a quarterback in his second year is going to help define the success of a season and the direction of a franchise, but that's what we're talking about here. And it'll be up to Justin Fields to take the next step. And you brought up Joe Burrow. You know, the difference between him and Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow was throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and C.J. Uzomah and had Joe Mixon in the backfield. I mean, there were a lot of weapons that team had. This offense in Chicago doesn't have that caliber of weapons surrounding the quarterback right now. And again, the hope is that you build that up over time and you grow into that and get better and better, but right now that's not the case.
When do you think we're going to hear on Deshaun Watson? Because we're all sitting here waiting. Are the Browns expecting him to maybe not have a long suspension?
Nobody knows what to expect and when it's coming down, because the decision is coming from the former federal judge, Sue L. Robinson. There's no track record whatsoever of her ruling on a disciplinary case in the NFL. Now, I think that the NFLPA believes that it made a compelling argument, and the NFL believes there's enough evidence for Deshaun Watson to be disciplined for a long period of time. Now, which one is going to prevail? We'll find out. But I can tell you that the NFLPA, during the disciplinary hearing from 3 weeks ago, argued that in the NFL bylaws and the NFL's constitution, that NFL owners are supposed to be held to the highest standard of conduct. And if we look back at the behavior of some of the NFL owners in recent years, there has not been one that has been disciplined, really. I mean, Daniel Snyder has, I guess, stepped away from the team's day-to-day operations, and the organization was fined $10 million. But did the league suspend him? No, it did not. And so there are any number of instances with NFL owners who are supposed to be held to the highest standard. The NFLPA is now arguing that if they were not suspended, why should Deshaun Watson be suspended when there were no criminal charges? And yes, there were 24 civil cases, and he settled 20-24, and then the Houston Texans settled 30 cases against their quarterback, and there's no disputing the fact that what went on here is unusual, unique, and frankly creepy. But was it criminal? And so far, it has not been. And so the NFLPA has argued that on the basis of that, that the discipline should be light, and the NFL has argued that the discipline should be lengthy, and we'll see what the judge decides to rule whenever she makes her decision. I think everybody believes it'll be soon, but nobody really knows.
It's a heck of a strategy by the PA, whether they view it as maybe apples and oranges, who knows, owners and players, who knows. But here's my question. Did you think Cleveland traded for him completely oblivious? Were they given a hint? Like, it's quite the investment into a situation you have no control and no knowledge of. Do you think they had any idea, like, what the max sentence would be, or did they even care?
No, they did not know. I think that they say they looked into it, and I'm sure they did, of course. But many of the women said that the Cleveland Browns never spoke to them about what occurred. So the Browns did the research that they wanted to do. They did the investigating that they believed they should do. But they reached their own conclusion. I still think that when some of these allegations surface after they make the trade, I would bet that some of these things they didn't know about.
Sure.
And that there have to be people in the organization that wonder whether or not this team made the right move. Now, I think the bottom line, it speaks to how desperate the team was to find somebody at a position that they've really never been able to find somebody at in a successful way.
Shefty, we're really excited, man. The breaking news is Adam Schefter is going to be at the Football Fest at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana, Saturday, August the 20th. Again, if you'd like to go, it's free, but register at ESPNFootballFest.com. People are excited to talk to you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, okay?
Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you there.
We'll see you there.
Take care, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We are giving away three pair of VIP tickets to the Football Fest at Hard Rock Casino right now. The tickets include exclusive access to the Football Fest at 9 a.m. for meet and greet with ESPN Chicago host, special guests. You heard Adam is going to be there. The event opens to the public at 10. Complimentary food and drink provided. Special area for the VIPs at Football Fest. We are giving away three pair of VIP tickets right now to every fifth caller. You must be 21 or older to enter and to win. 312-332-3776. How did the Cubbies get here? And what will the future look like? Next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
What is this, the movie Office Space? Isn't this from Office Space?
Snorling? Is this Office Space?
JR, isn't this from Office Space?
This sounds like this might have been in a montage or two, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is from Office Space. Anyway.
With a printer? Oh, so good.
Exactly. The fax machine. 312-332-3776 again. Thank you, Ian. Or thank you, Adam Schefter, for agreeing he's going to be at the Fantasy Football it's called the Football Fest. ESPN Chicago Football Fest. It's the biggest event our station does. It's at the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. That's Saturday, August 20th. If you want to go, tickets are free. But you must register at ESPNFootballFest.com.
Looking forward to it. And, I mean, look, he's as big as they get in the business, Cap.
He is.
You get a Schefter showing up.
Jesse Rogers of football.
Yeah, hardly. Speaking of that, we got to get the Jesse Rogers of baseball, and that's Jeff Passan tomorrow. We'll try him because trade deadline's coming up. And
Tuesday.
I think Jed's phone is just ringing off the hook because there aren't as many sellers as there were a month ago. There's like a lot of teams still in it. Mm-hmm. The Cubs have some pieces. As bad a season as they're having, they actually have some pieces. Bullpen, catcher,
they've won
outfield.
Five in a row. Maybe they should add on. Get back in the race. We played this earlier. I want to play it again. Wilson Contreras has been open about his desire to not play for anyone else.
He has been open.
I remember talking to him off the air, no mic, nothing. I was with him. And he said, I want to retire as a Cub. I want to be here my entire career. I'm willing to be part of the rebuild if they lay out a plan to me. Hey, we're going to put this thing right back together, and we'll take care of you. He goes, I'm in.
Yeah, I said the same to Waddle and Sylvie last week. Among all those 16 Cubs, that some have moved on, most of them, I even more than Rizzo, this guy has given off that I want to stay here vibe more than any of them.
More than any of them. Here's Wilson after the game last night, because today is probably, I would say 98%, his final home game in a Cubs uniform.
It's tough. Just knowing everything that is happening around, and I knew it would get to me at some point, and I wish this day never came, but it's about business. I understand that. I respect that. And I love my team. I love this my team as most. And I don't want to get like too attached with them because you never know what's going to happen next week or this week even in San Francisco. But it's been a tough couple of days for me.
It's been amazing, as emotional as a person and player as he is, that he's had a career year. You would think one might take away from the other. Distraction probably affected those guys last year by his Bryant, is it right? Hasn't impacted his play. That might be the most amazing thing. And I am a little surprised they haven't given him some offer. Like, if there was a year where he had to prove something, this is the year he did. In the past, Cap, he's had injuries. He hasn't had that full season where the numbers just jump off the page. There's always been something. This year, he keeps on doing it. And when you speak about a catcher hitting like this, it's beyond expectations. So I'm surprised they haven't engaged him, even with a team-friendly deal.
Yeah, it literally is amazing to me. Now, if you tell me they're going to get back a package of guys that are going to be part of the next great Cubs team, like, oh, my God, they got who?
Some top pitching prospect or something. Yeah. No.
Yeah, some guy's going to be the number one starter on a World Series. Okay, I get it.
And maybe that's the answer. Like, maybe Happ and Contreras, in their minds, will never be better. And you trade them now to maximize it all instead of keeping them, maybe overpaying them, and they're never better than they are now. Now, nobody has a crystal ball. Maybe there is better in Happ. But to this point, neither player has played as well as they are right now.
But here's the dangerous part of that whole game, and that's what I can't get anyone over there to answer for me. What message do you send to the Pete Crow Armstrongs, the Brennan Davises, the Ed Howards, whoever your top guys are in your system? What kind of message are you sending to them that every good player that's come through here, we've run out of here?
Well, okay, couple things. First of all, when you're trying to make the big leagues, you're not really worried about those messages. And when you're up here, how do you know you're not the guy that gets the Seiya Suzuki contract or the Kyle Hendricks contract? They are giving out some contracts. But I get what you're saying. But when you're in Class A or Double A, you're not worried about that message. You're just worried about making it.
I don't agree. If I'm the top prospect coming through and they're speaking, guys, this is a family. We do it the Cubs way. Really? Really? We do it the Cubs way? Where did that get Rizzo? Traded. How about Baez? He's in Detroit. How about Bryant? He's in Colorado.
Well,
how
look,
about Wilson Contreras?
If you're a professional player and you don't realize the business side of this, then
I don't disagree.
And by the way, there's not a lot of people crying about Baez these days or Bryant these days,
I'm just talking about the message.
I get it.
Yadi Molina, did they let him go as he got older?
No.
How about Adam Wainwright?
No.
When they went out and had to go get Goldschmidt, did they pay him?
Yes.
Are they in the hunt on Juan Soto?
Look, you're talking about a model organization. You're right about that. I'm not even disagreeing with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate for you and saying this is what is going through Jed's mind. It must be. Because what the alternative is, this guy is good and I don't want him. Like, why don't you want a good player? And it's because of what I'm saying here. You're trading them at their peak because you don't believe they can be as good or better than they are right now.
The money you're going to pay, you will not get the value back, or the value versus the prospects you're going to get. It's a better move for you.
And look, 10% of all prospects make it. So, you know, you're lucky if one out of four, if you get four guys you're thrilled if one out of four make it. So there's no guarantee with those prospects. This is a proven commodity at a position that traditionally doesn't hit. I'm with you. And he's having a career year. I mean, they traded those guys and they weren't having career years. Now you're trading a guy having a career year. I think he's proven something to everybody this year. To be able to perform through this on a bad team without a contract next year, I think he's matured up in a big way just in the last 12 months. But they don't see it that way, apparently.
They do not. And again, I hope they land the next Max Scherzer and the next pick 'em, whoever, Garrett Cole. I hope they get them both back in trades. That still does not answer why you don't want that guy. He has a great rep. He plays hard. He plays banged up. He's a three-time All-Star starter. And you haven't even said, Well, what would it take to keep you here?
And, right, you haven't said that. And if you don't like his, oh, he doesn't catch the best, what, you can just make him a DH in a couple years. Full-time DH, part-time, whatever, you, however you want to do it. You now have the DH, which has certainly helped him this year. But I was probably saying a lot of these things about Baez and those guys last year. And, look, no, people would be upset if they tied up hundreds and hundreds of millions in those guys. When you hit 30 cap, it is a risky game. It is a risky game. The analytics have proven that. And maybe you don't want to overpay for future performance that isn't going to be as good as it is right now. It's a tough call sometimes. But our emotions say, hey, keep the guy.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy I want on my team.
Right.
That is just a fact. Hey, congrats to Brian, Nick, and John, who all won the VIP ticket packages to our football fest. Again, that, if you'd like to go, you can register. Tickets are free, but you must register. It'll be completely gone, packed. That's ESPNFootballFest.com. Looking forward to it.
I'm curious what Cub fans say. You know, can they take emotion out of this and look at it? Used last year as a guide. Oh, I loved Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant. Now you're like, oh, maybe it's good we didn't sign him. The difference, again, though, is none of them were having the years he's having this year. Can you take an emotion out of it? Are they doing the right thing? I'm with you, Cap. How do you not at least lowball him, even if it's an insult? Maybe he takes it, and now you've got great value at an important position.
Correct. That I completely get.
I mean, you lowballed Rizzo. You at least did that. So that's why I still think there's something here by the end of the week that at least an offer will be given. But I could be wrong.
By the way, the people out there who keep saying, well, you know what, let's take this call.
Okay.
And then we can discuss this.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. You know, I like Wilson Contreras a lot. I love his spirit, the way he plays hard all the time. He's an emotional guy. He's a leader. But the thing is, I don't think the Cubs consider him to be a great catcher. And the reason I say that is when I heard Jed talking about their catchers, you know, he mentioned how great a job Gomes does and how the pitcher's ERA is so much better when he catches. It's catcher's ERA he was talking about. And then when he got to Contreras, he said, and then, you know, Contreras has a good deal of experience, but he didn't go into like how, you know, all his great assets as a defensive player.
Okay. Let me just tell you, Yan Gomes has a wins above replacement of zero. Wilson Contreras is a 2.0. Yan Gomes has an OPS as a player of 588. While Wilson Contreras is almost 900.
Yeah, how come, I agree with Cap, how come we'll take a defensive liability in left field if he has great numbers? Granted, catcher's important, but look, he's got a great arm. He blocks pretty well. Okay, maybe he doesn't call the best game, and Gomes is better at that. But I think I actually think that's a worthy trade-off. There are no great offensive hitting catchers, none.
Yeah. Can I comment? I'm not saying that I buy into that idea. I'm just saying, like, the comments that I've heard from the Cubs, as well as Hendricks. I remember after he had a couple of really good starts and they talked to him, and he said, man, I'll tell you what, all I had to do is look down at the signs, and Gomes called such a great game, and he gave all kinds of credit to him.
Yeah, because that's the direct, so, and we appreciate your call. We got a roll. We got a special guest coming up.
Sure.
That's the lane he picked. It's going to be Yan Gomes next year as your starting catcher.
And boy, are we going to be excited because he calls a good game. I mean, Come on.
Guy's hitting 220.
Did have two homers the other day.
Got an OBP at 237.
Whatever. Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Exactly right, JR. We have a special guest coming up. David Robertson. Hopefully he won't be traded during this commercial break. He is coming up next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on, Cap J Hoodie, ESPN 1000. Jesse's in for Hoodie. He'll be back on Thursday. Cubs have won 5 straight. One thing you've got to give the Cubs credit for, they every year they do a very good job identifying relievers and building a very solid bullpen. Last year they had Ryan Tepera and Andrew Chafin. So this year, I get the call from somebody over there, we're signing David Robertson. I'm like, David Robertson? That guy's a stud.
And then they sign Michael Givens, pretty damn good. They bring Efros, pretty darn good. Like, it is, if their starting pitching didn't get injured, might be a little different record. Might be a little different record. I'm not saying they'd be in first place necessarily, but they have built a good bullpen, and their closer's done a good job.
Okay, so their closer is in high demand. I'm reading last night, I'm making calls, and everyone wants David Robertson. He's pitched in the biggest markets.
Yes, he has.
Yankees, Cubs, White Sox. He has performed on the biggest stage. He's a veteran guy. He's healthy, and he is getting the job done. And he joins us now here on ESPN 1000. Okay, David, a week from today, the ball's being handed to you. Close it out, big guy. Who are you pitching for?
Tough one right out of the gate, guys. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. But I'm assuming that there's a lot of talks going on that I'm just not hearing about. Or my agent.
Yeah, I was about to say, for people that don't know, David is his own agent. I was about to use that joke. Maybe they'll call your agent first. Okay, so classic question. Do you follow the rumors right around this final week? If not, I think the Yankees might be interested in a reunion. They just lost Michael King. But how much do you follow it? I mean, it's out there, right?
I don't really look at it too much. To be honest with you, I don't read a lot about baseball. I just kind of show up and play ball. Huh?
Okay.
If you get too much involved in everything, you'll start to go crazy.
So Charles Barkley once said to me, I do not believe that you should have agents. He said, a lawyer? Yeah. He goes, I'll pay you whatever your hourly rate is. If it's $1,000 an hour, I don't care. I'm going to get the best guy to look at my contract, tell me this. But he goes, why am I giving you a percentage of my money? So what went into your decision to be your own guy? And do you use a lawyer to look at the deals?
I guess you could say I do use a lawyer first. I use the PA to overlook my contract. It's pretty easy. They have people on staff, and we pay our dues. So I get them to take a look at it, make sure I'm not being an idiot. But also, I've read through a bunch of them, and they're very similar at this point in my career. Like, they don't really change too much. There might be a word here or there that needs to be changed, but for the most part, they're pretty basic contracts for MLB players. But for the as far as moving away from my agent and representing myself, I just kind of was at a point in my career where I was like, I've already got 10 years in the league, and I think that I kind of have an understanding of what my value is, and I can see, look around the market and just kind of see who's out there and what they're getting. And I just kind of bet on myself. I think that I can have those conversations. I'm an adult. Teams can tell me what they think I'm worth, and it's not going to hurt my feelings. If they say they don't think I'm worth something, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's part of it. It just happens. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But when it comes to negotiating, I feel like it's for the most part, if a team wants you, they're going to try to make you an offer that's going to get you, and then it's just a quick back and forth to see if you guys can hit a point that feels comfortable for both sides.
And eventually you've been able to do that. You did it with the Cubs just recently. Jed has talked about how that negotiation went. He had a smile on his face describing it. And then you go out there and have the season that you're having. I'm not sure if you're a guy that likes to hear about your numbers, but people probably know him, 183 ERA, just 3 home runs given up, all sorts of great things. But what are you most proud of on the mound this year as a Chicago Cub, the things you've done with that baseball this year? What are you most proud of?
Cool. I feel like we play a one-run game almost every day, and to be able to not blow as many as – I mean, I've blown a few this year, I'm not going to lie, but like – to be able to hold it down, even as scary as they may have seemed out there with runners all over the place, to just be able to get through some of those really tough outings, those one-run leads that we've had in the ninth, has probably been my biggest thing. Had to rely on the defense sometimes, but just trying to stay focused and make a quality pitch and get us out of there. That's probably my biggest thing this year. I mean, I'm healthy for the first time in 3 years, and it was a long road back from surgery, but I've made it, and I think I feel better than I did when I was younger. I just am a little – You know, I feel like everything is coming out of my hand really good. My movement's good. I'm just needed to get healthy again.
So if you look back at your game log this year, so you pitched, I believe, Saturday. You pitched Sunday. Last night is a one-run game, and I see Efros come in. And good for him. He got the save. I'm like, where's my guy Robertson? If this was not the trade time, do you close that game? Or, nope, I'll never pitch 3 days in a row.
I'd probably be in on that one. I think I've already thrown 3 days in a row this year, so it wouldn't have been a big deal to me. I mean, obviously, getting the 4 day break and then coming back, I think that they're just trying to give guys an extra day here and there. And with the trade deadline looming, they don't want to risk anything. So, I mean, I'm just assuming, and I haven't had any conversations, that it's just they're just trying to look out for the guys at this point in the season.
Speaking of speaking of conversations or not conversations, are there any when you're a veteran and you everyone knows what's going on? I mean, do you even joke with Jed? Hey, don't send me to the West Coast or something. Like, are there conversations, or is there kind of like a separation of church and state there with player and executive?
I just haven't spoken to him, honestly. Yeah. A while. He hasn't been in the clubhouse. They've been busy with the draft stuff, too. With the draft stuff coming right at the same time of the trade deadline, I'm sure that they are very busy and having very little sleep. I think he'll get to me at some point, and we'll have a conversation, and we'll just kind of see how everything plays out.
For Cub fans who are, you know, they're just disillusioned. Man, we're breaking it up. We're going to trade, you know, whoever it is, Contreras, Hap, Robertson, whoever ends up going, can you give us a feeling of what the vibe is like in that room? And are there players on this team where you look and go, you know what, the Cubs actually have some talent here?
I mean, we do have some talent. We've lost a bunch of tight ball games. I heard you guys say earlier when you were coming to me that, you know, starting pitching, you know, we had a lot of injuries happen real quickly there. And the bullpen kind of got overtaxed. We ended up losing a lot of one-run games and a lot of extra inning games. We've been right there with a lot of really good teams. We've got the talent. We just haven't been able to put it all together until recently. Like, we've been playing really good since we got back from the break. I think the guys just needed that. But, I mean, as far as, like, you're looking around and seeing everybody in the clubhouse and being like, oh, are you going to get traded, this and that, I don't think anybody's really worried about it too much right now because we're having such a good time playing. I mean, we're winning for the first time this year, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
Yeah,
Ross, it's still fun to win ball games.
Yeah, Ross said the same thing. He just the trade deadline will be here and it'll happen. Whatever happens, happens. So, what is this next week like for you? You guys are packing up tonight to go to San Francisco. You pack a little extra because you may not be back in Chicago. How do you play? How does this affect your real life?
My real life. Well, I mean, my family's going back home. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want to know. And I'm heavy packing for this trip. And loading my car up, I am just in case something happens and we're out there on the West Coast, then at least I'm you know, the clubhouse guys can grab my stuff and send it to me, and I can start over again in whatever city I go to. But if I don't, then it's very easy to come back and unpack stuff and just enjoy Chicago.
Do you have any feeling about New York? I mean, the Yankees just lost King. They know you. Cashman's one of the few guys that was around when you played for them, right? Do you have a feeling about New York going back there?
I haven't heard anything. I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear anything last time, too, when I got traded back there. So it's hard to say. I mean, I'm sure, like I say, they're probably having conversations. I just don't know who's in and who's out.
Yep.
Hey, man, we appreciate you taking time. Just keep pitching as well as you are because it's a lot of fun to watch when you come in.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. I mean, who knows? Might be here the rest of the year.
You never know, David. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you. There he is, David Robertson of the Chicago Cubs. We also do have some breaking football news.
What do we got?
A vehicle pulled into Lake Forest to Hallis Hall, and out got Robert Quinn. He has reported to camp.
Quinn has reported?
Correct.
But Smith is
a hold-in.
Is a hold-in. So Quinn will actually participate.
Yes.
Apparently. Smith will not, though he'll be there.
Correct.
And again, explain, what does Smith say?
He only has 1 year left on his deal.
But how do you show up and then not practice? You've got a stub toe? What do you do?
You just tell him you're not practicing.
You just tell him not practice.
Yeah,
I'm
just
gonna
sit
stand
on the
here.
Sideline.
That's nuts. I don't know if I could do that. Honestly, I don't know if I can watch my teammates practice, be healthy, stand there, and say, no, I'm not.
And if your agent said to you, Jesse, if you get hurt, you have a freak Teddy Bridgewater-like knee injury, that's your future.
I'd say I'm a player, man. I'm a ball player. I'm going out there.
Yeah,
that's what
you
would
not. Because Tracy Rogers would say, are you out of your mind? Get your paper first. Well, secure the bag.
When we win the lotto tonight, I will not be in here tomorrow. So I'm going to be holding out tomorrow if we win tonight.
Hey, if I win the lottery tonight, I will be here to do the show tomorrow.
That's and the next day.
And the next
day. You're nuts.
I love what I do, man.
You're nuts.
Gotta I have a purpose to get
up I love
up
what
every
I
day.
Do, but it's two different That's two
Let me
different
ask you
things.
A question. Elon Musk has $253 billion. Why does he keep working every day?
He works
Why
when
does
he,
Bezos
well,
keep working?
He works when he wants, I'm sure. You
Those
see him on the
guys
yacht.
Work hard.
Yeah, well, that's probably why they have $250 billion.
Correct.
I might I do something else. I might own something, be my own boss. Instead, I'll get Zetterman over my neck here. Forget about it.
Right. You didn't do this way or yes. do that way.
You didn't make the announcement the right way.
Yeah. That's life working for Danny.
He's the best.
Love him dearly. We have the Cap at Jay Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, my favorite restaurant. That is next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
A lot of fun
that
having Jesse in here.
That's a fine. Let's
go. I hit the
go.
Button and the thing came off in my hand. You're going to be the technical engineer. Get this stuff fixed. Sweet mother of
Save that.
Everything's
hit
falling
the button
apart.
It came off on my hand.
Just wait, Jeez. Jesse. Hoodie was sitting where you sit and a piece of insulation fell on his head. So you just wait.
Oh, wonderful. I'm looking that? Forward to that.
Yeah, it's making
we call
some
it
the
news.
Wrigley experience.
Making some headlines.
They
right.
Yeah. Remember they had netting under there?
I did see Tom last night for a moment. You know, it's not often you...
Tom's a good dude.
Yeah, and we just kind of looked around at the crowd. Like, couldn't believe it. I don't even know what the number...
It was packed
What was
there.
The final number? Yeah, I want to see what the official number was. It was packed. They were like fifth in attendance. Is that amazing? Somebody tweeted at me, why would you... Because I kind of tongue-in-cheek said that White Sox should move into Soldier Field. Obviously, you'd have to renovate. And guys like, why would you do that? I'm like, why? First of all, where there's water, put a stadium. Okay, this is why the Marlins blew it. This is why the Giants are that stadium's awesome. Now, you'd have to renovate Soldier Field.
The Pirates have an awesome stadium right on the
water. By water. You'd have to renovate Soldier Field, and you'd have to absolutely renovate public transportation in. But you know what? White Sox would draw there. They can't do worse than what they're doing. I'm sorry. 18,000 midweek stinks. Stinks. And to me, it has to do with the location more than anything. Would you be for that? White Sox playing at Soldier, if it was renovated with ways to get in and everything else. I mean, there's only, you know, driving-wise, there's only so,
yeah,
much,
I just don't
so
think
much
you can
do.
You can do all that. I really don't.
Make that, a, you know, you're down on the lakefront. Hey, let's walk over to the White Sox game. You know how many tourists you might get walk up? I think it'd be a fabulous idea. A lot to pull off, granted.
How about this,
Not
Jesse?
Impossible.
I'll make it a poll question at ESPN1000 on Twitter. We'll see what the people think.
How would you feel if they redid Soldier Field into a baseball stadium in the White Sox
and upgraded the public transportation? Whatever, just top
You're
notch.
Talking about billions of frickin' dollars,
well,
dude. It's not
Jerry's happen. Got it. He's not spending on the team.
What? They got a payroll over $200 million.
Wow.
Jeez.
I'm just kidding around.
Anyway, time for the Cap of Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by the great people at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. My favorite restaurant, David Flom and Matt Moore cook up the best dining experience, and you sit out on the patio with the great view of the river. It's literally an incredible dining experience. And here is the Cut of the Day.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
What's up, Rumi?
How are you?
I'm good.
Buddy. Yeah.
Good to see you twice in a week here.
Jesse and I vacationed together last week up Wisconsin.
I Cap comes down with the dogs. I'm on my computer pounding away at like 7 a.m.
Yo.
Yes,
it's boring. Pounding away, huh, Jess?
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
There you go.
The 7 a.m. a little early to be on the computer pounding away,
Jess. Not sure what you're trying to say there.
I actually took a picture from me outside with the dogs.
Photos, Cap. No one wanted a photo
with
that.
With my coffee. Jesse's at the round table that in the corner of my family room.
Of all the pictures you took of me, that was the best one. Without my stomach out and laying on a raft.
Jesse is typing away a White Sox article.
It was a White Sox article.
Tony Russo,
yeah, it ran over the weekend, yeah. Sox are going places. I was suggesting a contract extension. And my editor's like, no, I don't think you should. I'm kidding. I did not write that.
He's got one more year on the deal.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, is he back? What? Not firing, whatever. Is he back mutual?
Well, I mean, do they get eliminated on the season's final day, or they finish 11 under 500?
Okay, they get eliminated on the final day.
He's back.
They finish 10 under.
He's not back.
Okay. I'm just getting the gauge.
10 under,
here.
He's not back.
I'm getting the gauge here. I think if they don't make the playoffs, I don't care if it's the final day or not, there's got to be some changes there, not just
maybe to the coaching staff. I think he's the manager next year. I really, really do. I think he's absolutely the manager.
I want to doubt you, but I don't think I can. I think you're probably right. This is what he does. Until there's an agreement with Jerry that I'm not coming back, like a mutual agreement, you're probably right.
Jerry's never getting rid of him.
Right, not right out, but you know, there could be a conversation where
no shot. It would have to be Tony going.
Well, that's kind of what I mean. Tony would have to convince Jerry.
I'm done. I'm not doing this. That's the only way.
That is
Jerry's
the only way.
Not going to pull the plug on him. Yeah. No chance.
Yep. Yeah.
By the way, have you guys seen the picture of Aaron Rodgers coming into camp today? He literally looks like Nicolas Cage from Con Air.
Not surprised.
And he also looks like Danny Zetterman.
With the flowing hair
the
in the back.
The flow. You got to get that picture and get a picture of Zetterman and put that on our Twitter page. You have to. That is our boss. That is Danny Zetterman to a freaking T.
Think we can get Danny and a wife beater like that?
What?
Why is it? That's what you call that. These Aaron Rodgers get out of the car in a wife beater. That's what you call that shirt. I know it's a dated term, but.
It is.
Just be careful. Because there's other terms for that shirt, too. Anyway, we're back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Sox and Rockies tonight.
And Cubs and Pirates.
Cubs and Pirates.
Six in a row.
That's what I'll have my eyes on. I know you're going down to camp to watch the first practice, I'm sure.
Excuse me?
I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
Have a great day. For Jesse, for Shay, for JR, I'm Cap. See you tomorrow. Take that.